Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Melrose Place podcast with Jenny and Dan Hill. Hi.
Hey.
What's up?
Not much.
I can't believe we already did one.
We did one. Going for two.
Going for double number two. Well, actually, number one, because the first one was a pilot.
Ooh, is that how they number them?
Yeah, so we're going for the pilot.
Oh.
I'm sorry. Episode one.
Well, episode two. It says two right there.
Okay.
Episode two, Friends and Lovers.
Friends and Lovers, directed by Daniel Attias, written by Charles Pratt Jr. Original air date, July 15th, 1992. It was airing at 9 p.m. on Fox, and it was running up against Doogie Howser, M.D., a ninja show called Raven on CBS, and reruns of Seinfeld. So by the only network running like new badass programming was Fox. They were doing an hour block of 90210 of new episode and then running it straight into Melrose. So that's 92 for you. And let's see here. You know, the president in 92 was George W. Bush.
H.W. Bush.
Oh, George Herbert Walker Bush.
Yeah.
The hot songs in 92 at this point in time was Baby Got Back by Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Great tune.
Great tune. The Pelican Brief by John Grisham, the book, was just released. Yeah, a lot of things were going on. Universal Soldier was in theaters, along with
A League of Their Own. And Batman Returns.
Yeah, Batman Returns.
Those were some good movies.
Yeah. So, that's a little day in history for you.
A little climate of what's going on when this episode aired.
Yeah.
Well, I know that you had let everybody know that when we first moved to LA, it was 2008, and he came, when we moved here, we had really nothing.
Yeah. We didn't have much.
We didn't,
did not have much.
We didn't have cable. We hardly had internet. But Dan had some DVDs, and he suggested that we started watching Melrose Place.
I think I had Walker, Texas Ranger and Melrose Place.
Yeah, I think that you picked the better of the two. And I just remember watching this show. And in the beginning, the first season and the first few episodes are really just reminiscent of young people just out of college trying to navigate their way through LA. And I could really relate to that even, you know, years and more than 20 years later, that I felt that I could understand where these characters were coming from. So in rewatching these episodes, it really brings me back to
the good old days.
Well, I was waiting tables. Dan was a bouncer at a local bar, and we were just making ends meet, partying all night, and
humble
working.
Beginnings.
Yeah,
maybe that's why we don't remember watching a lot of these.
Because I think we were like drunk most of the time.
It'd be like drunk nights, and then like we'd put it on to go to bed and stuff.
Yeah, but I mean it. It's just really fun to watch it and kind of be reminded of those days so long ago.
I miss them.
I miss them too.
And make no mistake, like I love Melrose Place. I just don't really remember it. And I know that so much stuff happens, but I don't know how to connect the dots. So that's why I really wanted to do this podcast, because I don't think to this day I've seen them all. And I want to see them all, and I want to get through. Like, how many rewatch podcasts are out there that, like, just don't finish?
This might be one of them.
Well, I want to go down fighting, you know? Mm-hmm. We started it. I think that's the hardest part, is just getting it started.
We shall see.
We can do it.
Okay.
We can do it. All right, so let's go. Let's jump in. It's episode two. You guys already know who is in the show. We're at Melrose Place, we're in Hollywood, and it starts off, and Jake is in the shower, and
bad boy Jake.
He nearly murders somebody because the water is screwed up in there. He has this conniption.
I've never that I can't seen even anybody explain. React to, I don't know if it was cold water or hot water, but it looked like he was going to murder somebody.
I thought he was going to say motherfucker on on network television, because that's what was going on. So Jake, he is furious. He hops out of the shower. He puts on a towel, and he's out of the apartment. And he's banging on Michael Mancini's door.
Poor
the property manager.
Property manager slash surgeon.
Yeah. And so he's like, hey, man, I told you a billion times, you got to fix this water. And then Mancini, the property manager, the doctor, the husband, looks at Jake and says, you're out of work. You fix it.
And honestly, he has a point.
Does he, though?
I mean, Michael Mancini, he is the hardest working guy in Melrose Place.
You're a Mancini apologist. You don't know what happens.
Well, I guess not. But from the first few episodes, Mancini is on my side.
If our landlord looked at us and was like, when our water thing pipe broke, our water heater, and we were 9 months pregnant, and I was like, hey, we got no hot water for my pregnant wife, and they told me to go fix it, I would be very upset. I'd call the police.
All I'm saying is that Jake should really take the property manager position. He doesn't have a job, and Michael Mancini has too many jobs.
Yeah. And I have a note here that says, Michael doesn't dream. Do you have anything that relates to this?
Well, so... after that scene, we're back in Jane and Michael's apartment, and Jane recounts how she and Michael met. They met at a party only 2 years ago, and she had broken one of her heels, and Michael comes up to her, and she tells him about her hardship, and he takes her other shoe and breaks the heel off of her other shoe. And she said that she knew at that moment, that's when she knew that she was in love with him.
So if any of you guys hard on love are out there and you're looking for a way to make somebody love you, break their shoes.
I think that's the message that they're giving us.
It is.
So Jane's just all starry-eyed and talking about how they began, and that she looks at Michael and says, well, when did you know that you loved me?
And he has no fucking idea.
That's when after-school special music. And he's just looking around. Nothing comes to mind.
But that's an honest... like, to me, that's an honest guy moment. Because it's like, we know we love, but we don't know, like... we don't have the exact moment in our Rolodex.
Yeah,
on demand.
If you ask me, what did you fall in love with me? I'd be like, I don't know!
Yeah, it's like, for that... and, like, she's like... great, our marriage is over. And, like, Michael, the doctor, the property manager, is like, for fuck's sake, now I've got to remember the fucking moment I love my wife? Come on. So I feel for him. Then we go to Allison.
We go to D&D. And Allison, from the previous episode, is very nervous that something's going to come of this interaction she had with Hal at the Canyon Country Cooler Mixer they went to.
She thinks she's going to get fired because she didn't bang her boss.
So she walks in, and Hal's there at her desk, and she tells Hal that what happened was sexual harassment, and she's not going to take it.
Anyone who pronounces it harassment has never been harassed.
Well, I would beg to differ. He was coming on very strong to her.
Right.
So he basically is just like, do whatever you want. And Allison says that she's not going to stand for that kind of behavior. And she's very disappointed in how he acted. And she doesn't care if she gets fired. Mm-hmm. She's not standing for it. He walks away, and then one of Allison's colleagues comes up to her and says that Libby Haskins in payroll filed charges against Hal. So it looks like
Hal's on the outs.
He's not going to be a problem any longer.
Yep, no problem any longer. And then someone else randomly is like, oh, P.S., your cab's out front. And she's like, I didn't call a cab. So, of course, you go and investigate what that cab's doing out front. Because that's what any normal person would do, right?
Right.
If I was at work and someone was like, hey, Dan, your cab's out front, and I didn't call a cab, I'd be like, well, I don't know what the fuck that's about, and I would continue my work.
Well, Allison goes outside only to see that her new roommate, Billy, just got a new job. He quit teaching dance, or my opinion is he may have gotten fired teaching dance.
Yeah.
And he's now taken up driving a cab in L.A.
Yeah, he somehow got certified in whatever
time. Less than
24 hours.
Maybe in 92, you didn't really need much more than a license to drive. I don't even know.
And I have a note here that Billy driving the cab was a clear, like, storyline failure of his dance class. Because I bet they saw the pilot and they were like, are we really going to take this guy to, like, dance class and teach it and, like, hire all these kids or whoever the students are, hire all these extras and then have Billy, like, fumble around like dancing? And they're like, no, let's put him in a cab. So they're like, scrap the...
I think you might be onto
something. Scrap the dance. Let's throw him in a cab.
Yeah. It's then that Allison and Billy make a plan to paint the apartment later on that day. So Allison says, okay, I'll get the paint. Billy agrees to meet her back at the apartment, and they're going to do a little refresh of their new living space.
Mm-hmm. Then we're going to cut to Sandy's headshots. We figure out she's not only a bartender, but she's also an actor, and her headshots are sprawled all over the bar at Shooters. One of her coworkers, we find out that she actually does have a coworker, and she's like talking about how she has to show her tits or not show her tits, and that's like that's how Hollywood is.
Well, that she has to have some kind of advantage.
Right, right. And she seems not too thrilled about that.
Now, if you can believe it, Kelly from 90210 shows up yet again at Shooters looking for Jake.
Right.
They're supposed to have lunch, apparently.
And then...
And Jake's not there.
Jake's not there. We cut to him at the busiest unemployment office I have never seen.
Yeah, but not before Sandy tells Kelly that he is at the unemployment office, and so if she's looking for him, that she's gonna have to go there. So Jake's there. He's waiting in line. It's a zoo.
It's a zoo. He gets to the counter because he's been waiting there forever, so he's all flustered, and the guy at the counter is like, sorry, you didn't fill out the front page or the back. And then, like, Jake's like, are you kidding me? I've been waiting here forever. And he's like, yep, sorry, you have to go back to window A.
Yeah, so as you can imagine, Jake is very flustered at this point, and we leave him there.
Mm-hmm.
It's then that we get a toe-to-head shot of Jake's new fare, of Billy's new fare, excuse me. Mm. He picks up this fare. She's headed to the valley. They panned up from her toes to her head.
Yeah.
And I guess she's supposed to be some, like, really attractive girl.
Yeah, she's not that hot.
I don't get it.
If you were ugly, your time on television was the 90s. Like, you could...
I mean, you could have made it big.
You could really get on TV.
And she's not ugly. Let's not say that. But I just didn't think that she, like...
She was just like, all
that
right.
Kind of a shot.
You don't see average looking girls on TV anymore. You just don't. Even the ugly ones.
And that's kind of sad because it's not very representative of, you know, who we are as a society.
Yeah.
But
she claims Billy looks like Bruce Springsteen, which I don't see.
Yeah.
Google Andrew Shue and tell me what you think.
Yeah. So she hands Billy a handwritten note, say, with the address of where she's going in the San Fernando Valley. And they're in the cab, and he says, if we take cold water, we'll be in traffic all day. And she says, so? What?
Yeah. So? Let's take cold water.
Let's be in traffic all day.
She's
I'm paying
it.
For this ride.
Well, she's clearly insane.
Well, we find out later just how insane she is.
She's nuts.
That's when she pays Billy the compliment of looking like the boss, Bruce Springsteen.
Mm-hmm.
And they discover that they were at the very same Bruce Springsteen concert together.
And, like, that they could have danced together. And somehow this is, like, an epiphany for both of them. But it's like, what? Two people can't have been at the same concert?
They were two rows apart, Dan. They keep saying two rows apart.
That is not fate. Like, I don't, like, that is, it's such a reach for that to occur.
Well, they decide instead of going all the way into the valley that they ought to just go out to dinner. So Billy turns off the cab, turns off the meter, and decides to take this new girl out to dinner mm-hmm. instead of making a buck off of her.
Then we cut back to old Jakey Poo at the unemployment office dealing with, I have here, hair loss mullet. So this guy, I don't know who this guy is, but again, if you were ugly, your time on television was 92.
He worked at the unemployment office, and he keeps telling Jake that he needs to go to different windows.
Jake like cannot grasp how this application process works. So he's just getting more and more furious.
And this is like the pinnacle of his fury. And he actually assaults this guy. Yeah. He's like a state worker. He
grabs him. And does he punch him?
Almost.
He almost punches him. And then
just in time for Kelly to walk in and see everything go down.
Cue clingy ass high school Kelly is tracked him down from the bar to the unemployment office. And Kelly then tries to bail him out.
Well, because obviously Jake gets arrested because he literally assaulted a state worker.
Right.
But unfortunately, Kelly's unable to bail him out because her credit card won't go through. And due to his priors...
He's got priors.
He's
got
to stay in lockup overnight.
And Kelly, the junior that she is...
high school junior.
Is like, what are priors? And like and then the woman's like, honey, he been to jail more than once. Oh, shit, man. Okay.
So then we go to Billy and the taxi girl, and they're back at Billy's place. He probably grabs a strawberry from the mantle. I mean,
above the fireplace.
Yeah.
Who keeps fruit there?
They have a bowl of fresh fruit on their mantle, and he begins to feed her.
Yeah, he bites into a strawberry and then feeds it to her.
It's like bar fest.
Yeah, and there's just random fruit on the mantle.
And as they're making out, Allison walks in, and we finally learn that this taxi girl's name is Marcy.
Yeah. And then I have another note as the plot. All Jake does is yell at Kelly. So he's bailed her out, I guess. I think this is when we had our daughter's name is Moxie. She's going to come up a lot in this podcast, I'm sure. But we try to watch these while she is subdued or sleeping or doing something other than crying. But at this point, I was rocking her. So now my notes fall to the wayside.
Well, before we go back to Jake and Kelly, Billy and this taxi girl, Marcy, their relationship starts to blossom, and they go into Billy's room.
Not only blossom, like, it's bloomed.
they are an item.
They are Michael and Jane at this point.
So they're in Billy's room, and you can tell Allison is not very pleased that there is this random girl just in her apartment, mm-hmm. especially when her and Billy had made plans to paint the apartment together. So she comes back, she's got all the supplies to paint, and she starts kind of getting the walls prepared, and she can hear them in Billy's room. And the most fascinating thing that I heard was Billy saying, "No, no, don't touch me there."
So both roommates have been accused violated
of rape in some way.
No, 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 don't touch me there. Like, have you ever said that hooking up with anybody? and then continued to hook up with them? No.
So Allison is intrigued and she's listening outside his door, which she did in the last episode as well. And he comes out and she's busted. You can tell that she, again, is not happy that Billy isn't spending time with her.
But I'm sorry. I have a note here.
Please.
That Allison isn't crazy. Like, she it's her apartment. She's allowed Billy to stay there. And, like, everyone in the complex and her and Billy are accusing her of, like, being upset when she shouldn't be, but she should. This person, Marcy, has completely taken over her place.
Well, yeah. I mean, and this establishes that.
They're hanging out on the couch. It's like, fuck that. I would not stand for that shit.
Oh, I know you wouldn't.
Well, definitely not.
You're crazy. Hell no. So Allison tells Billy, I thought we were going to paint. And Billy just kind of gives her a half-ass answer. And
well, do it later, Allison.
So it's the next day. And Marcy wakes up, Allison's in the living room, and Marcy has the nerve to ask Allison if she can borrow her deodorant.
And Allison obliges.
What? Is that a thing?
would you loan somebody you just met their just deodorant? Met?
Absolutely not. I mean, like a close friend or family member? Sure.
What would you say?
I'd say I'm out.
Is that all fresh out?
I don't wear deodorant.
I would say it's a little early for that. Or something like that. Or I would just look at him and be like, nah.
Yeah. So we find out that Marcy is a dental student.
That's right.
Jake gets out, is let out of prison, and Kelly is there, of course, because Kelly is always there trying to just hang out with Jake. And Jake, again, says, don't you understand? I'm no good for you.
No good for you, you little girl.
But Kelly just does not take no for an answer.
Jake's my favorite at this point. Like, he's the coolest.
He's, like, seriously entangled with, like, a minor.
But he doesn't want to be. He's just like, look, girl, get away. And then he gets what he wants. She, like, does everything for him. He's like, get the hell out of here. He's got the greatest life.
I guess you're right. Well, at that time...
is this where the money is given?
No, that happens a little bit later. Okay. So, Marcy is... It's now the evening. So, Taxi Girl has been with Billy the entire night, slept over.
And Billy's gone.
Yeah, Billy's not even there at the apartment. It's the next night. And Allison gets home, and Marcy's totally romanced their apartment up. So
I'd be like, get the fuck out.
She's got candles going. She has scarves over lamps to create an ambiance. Soft music is playing in the background.
I'd be like, bitch, you got to go.
Allison walks in, and of course, Marcy's expecting Billy and is disappointed to see Allison come through the door. And, I mean, Allison's just like... What are you doing here?
She's being walked all over. And, yeah. And funny line there. There's a candle on one of Allison's paint cans. And she's like, these are flammable. So she blows out like one candle. This passive aggressiveness.
And then Marcy just keeps overstepping her boundaries. She says to Allison that... You know, she could tell that Allison cares for Billy very much. And Allison, you know, gets defensive and says, I don't think so. I mean, I've only known him for a week. And then Marcy says, well, for such a short time that you've known him, you're very protective over him.
Yeah.
So then we go back to Jane and Michael Mancini's apartment. And Jane is upset that Michael cannot pinpoint the moment that he fell in love with her.
Which is total bullshit. Why would you try to make that happen, Jane? Come on.
At that point, Allison barges into their apartment, complaining about Billy and Marcy. She's very upset, and she insists they're just friends because, of course, the Mancinis are kind of... They're wondering why she is so upset that Billy has a new girlfriend.
Right, and they're the ones that sort of... insinuate that Allison is overreacting and jealous. When it's like, no. This bitch rearranged my apartment, and I've been nothing but gracious. And then, like, this establishes the Mancinis as, like, the parents of the complex, because she's like, can I sleep here? And they're like, sure, kiddo. I'll get the pillows. Like, it happens, like, when every time, like, Allison has a nightmare, she, like, runs down to the Mancinis. Can I sleep with you guys tonight?
Well, then, there's a pool party at Melrose Place.
Oh, right. And is this where Billy has the daydream?
Oh, yeah. Well, first, all the 90210 kids are there. So, I'm sorry, I don't know their character names.
They're at the pool party?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ian Ziering, is that his name?
Ian Ziering. He is, shit.
So, David or...
No, David is Brian Austin Green.
Well, that guy, he's hanging out with Sandy at the pool. And Sandy, who is, again, the Southern Belle, Ian, he invites her to go to a party at the Beverly Hills Beach Club.
Steve. Ian Ziering is Steve.
Okay, so Steve invites Sandy to go to a party. And she says no, because she is the only one that has any sense here not to hang out with high schoolers.
Yeah.
I mean,
she's the smartest of the bunch.
So there, Marcy is
raving about Billy.
Yeah, to everybody.
Like, telling them, like,
divulging all of their personal information about how Billy likes to be kissed and,
like, very sexual details. Like, Billy likes the inside of my armpits.
And that's when Billy, who's grilling up some hot dogs and hamburgers, has this daydream of Dr. Ruth.
Yeah, and how clingy. He's, like, starting to realize that this bitch is straight up code red crazy.
Yeah.
And apparently, if you have a daydream and you're cooking a couple burgers and sausages, that will ignite your grill.
Yeah, into, like,
a full blaze.
Really, it could turn into a structure fire.
Mm-hmm.
It's right there on the cusp.
Jake goes to Kelly's place.
Well,
and returns the money.
On the way there, he does run into Michael Mancini, who's trying to fix the plumbing in the wee hours of the morning, because poor Michael Mancini has a million jobs.
Poor Mancini.
And they, you know, they make up. They, because at the beginning of the episode started with Billy or Jake berating Michael for not fixing the plumbing. So they kind of have a heart-to-heart. And they're cool again.
And they bro out over, like, a monkey wrench trying to, like, undo this pipe. But I'm not sure how, like, wrenching the pipe would change Jake's hot water. Because that's got to be some sort of valve. I don't know. But, like, yeah, Michael, like, can't get it on his own. And Jake's like, here, pull with me.
No
idea.
You got
to do it this way.
Meanwhile, Billy is back at his apartment watching Black Widow spider videos about how Black Widows devour their mates.
Right.
He somehow got Marcy to leave after spending two entire days together.
She had to study or something?
Yeah, she had a test. And it's very evident that Billy wants to get rid of Marcy. He says he has to write, and she says she'll just watch him write. That's when Marcy tells Billy that she loves him after 2 days of knowing him.
Yeah, and that's when Billy shuts down.
Yeah.
He's done.
So now this is when Jake shows up at Kelly's place to pay off his bail. He doesn't want to owe Kelly anything, and he brings
her
$200.
He's like, here's $200. I'll have the other $200 for you in a couple weeks. And then she's like, I'm rich, bitch. It's never about your fucking money, dick. I love you. And then he speeds away, right?
On his motorcycle, yeah.
But does he take the money that she gives him back?
I don't know. I mean, she throws the money back at him.
Yeah. She's like, it's not about the money, Jake. She's so rich. She's ballin'. That was a really powerful moment for her.
Oh, yeah, for sure. She's finally standing up.
Yeah, that was, like, the first time she, like, didn't passively, like, argue with him. She was for real mad at him.
Yeah.
And Jake liked it.
He liked it too much.
I think he liked it, yeah.
Then we see a collection of random exterior shots. Johnny Rockets, Circus Liquors, a cow skull with a neon light wrapped around it, and then Shooters! We're back at the bar!
I love Shooters.
Jake at the bar, and Billy's there, and they're both comparing their tales of woe about how their girl trouble is just haunting them.
Yeah, and if you, for all you filmmakers out there and like writers, continuity of drinks really pisses me off. Because, okay, like, if we're watching this thing critically and for pleasure, but, you know, Billy orders a beer and then he buys Jake a beer so that Jake will stay. Now, Jake's beer is almost done, which so it makes sense that Billy would buy him one because maybe Jake will leave after that one. Jake doesn't have any money, so he's like, okay, fine, I'll take a free beer. So Billy literally takes two sips of this beer, has half a conversation with Jake about what he should do with Marcy, and then he's out of there.
He leaves a full beer!
He leaves a full beer and then leaves his buddy with another beer on top of his last few sips, which is a fucked up move if you're a guy. You gotta like drink the beers.
Well, maybe it's because Jake tells Billy to leave Marcy. If it's not love, you gotta tell her. You gotta cut the cord. And it's almost as if he's
like,
speaking
to
himself about Kelly.
Yeah, but he's also like, I don't want you dealing with this clingy bitch because I got one of my own.
And it's then that Jake asks Sandy out. They had a history.
Oh, right. Yeah, he's like, what about you, Sandy? You up for it?
She says no. So that brings us to Marcy returning to Melrose Place. She runs into Billy's arms, and that's when Billy tells her that this thing is out of control.
Yeah, and then she has a moment where she's like, I always do this.
It's like, do you?
It's like, really? Every day you hop into a cab and then drop all of your dentistry work and go live at that person's house for 2 days, totally take over, make them dinner, and eat strawberries off their mantle?
And then tell them that you love them?
I always do this! Yeah, so she's like, is it because I came on too strong? What do I do?
Yeah, he basically said, you came on too strong, I don't love you. And surprisingly, it does end very amicably. She says that she, like Dan stated, she always does this, and she leaves no hard feelings. That's it.
That's
the end of Marcy. We go to Jane and Michael's apartment, and they make a plan never to lose the romance.
Right, because I have a note here that says, Jenny falls for Mancini.
I don't fall for Mancini.
You are just eating up the pie that he's cooking.
No, I mean, I really thought that what he says at this point was very sweet. He says, to Jane's point, that Michael Mancini couldn't figure out the moment that he fell in love with Jane. Michael says, it wasn't a moment. It's lots of moments. It's every time I'm with you and every time I'm not. It's like having a secret that you don't want to tell everybody, that you don't dare tell anybody. And I thought that was kind of sweet.
I'm going to barf.
I thought that was a very nice sentiment to say to your wife, and it made me, I don't know, get a little misty-eyed.
That's like when parents tell all their kids that they love them all equally.
Oh, stop.
It's like, I love every moment is when I fell in love with you. You can't be all bold. Like,
well,
that's such a bold statement.
Okay, well, I happen to like it. And that is when Jake shows up at Kelly's house for a change.
Right. Jake, he finally got told off by Kelly. So, of course, he goes back doesn't take his own advice well, that he gave to Billy.
Yeah.
And he's groveling.
And this little exchange occurs. She says, "What are you doing here?" He says, "I don't know." And then she says, "Yeah,
good job, Jake. Be vague. Be vague.
I don't want your money." And then he says, "Good, because I have $10. What happened to the other $200 you were going to pay her back?
I don't think he picked it up when she threw it at him. Jake, we've established that Jake is not the smartest of people. This is a man who has gone into the unemployment office and misfilled out every form, been sent back, and then been that angry to fight over it. And then he doesn't even take his own advice.
And plus, the fact that he is even involved with a high schooler,
yeah,
that alone says a lot about Jake's character.
He's my favorite character so far, but he has shown his maturity levels are not at par.
Well, it's then that they both decide that they better be just friends.
Right.
Because Jake says he doesn't want to lose Kelly's friendship over this.
He really needs that high school junior's friendship.
And it's then that Kelly hops on the back of Jake's motorcycle and they ride off into the moonlight.
Right. But what they fail to mention is that Jake came straight from Shooters. So what I can only imagine is that Jake finished the beer that Billy bought him by himself. So then, I mean, I assume
they're just booze cruising around the streets of L.A.
And Kelly, like, whispers in his ear, like, "I just have to be home by midnight." Oh, man. And then, is that
it? So, we have the episode at Billy and Allison's apartment. They're finally painting together, and they look at each other and say, "What a weekend."
What a weekend. So, and then that's the episode. The credits roll. And what we get from this episode is that Jake is very wishy-washy. Allison and Billy are a friendly co-op roommate situation. Jane and Michael have mended their marriage. Rhonda is nowhere to be found. Would hate to be in her dressing room at this point in time. Because they do the pilot. She's all up in that pilot. And then they're like, let's do a little less Rhonda.
Aw, and, I like Rhonda.
Southern Belle, I can't get her name
Sandy.
Yet.
Sandy.
Sandy. Sandy, she's hanging on by a thread.
Well,
it's clear, there's clearly a tier here where
not everybody can be the main character.
It's all man, it's girl next door, boy next door, roommates, hot guy, Jake, and the married couple.
Yeah.
That's what it's about right now.
So, Dan, this episode is called Friends and Lovers. Mm-hmm. If you could retitle it, what would it be?
Ooh. Friends and Lovers. Crazies and Weirdos.
I'm going to call it Stage 5 Clingers.
Stage 5 Clingers. All right, all right.
Marcy and Kelly, they just can't get enough.
And I had a 90s moment, and I forgot it.
You did?
Yeah.
I have two, then.
What's your 90s moment?
Well, the first one is that Billy actually gets a job driving a cab.
Right. Oh, right. Yes. Yeah, mine is about the cab, too.
Oh, I know what it is. That Marcy gives him a handwritten address and is like, "Take me here."
Yeah, that's my 90s moment. That would never happen. If this show aired today, Billy would be in an Uber, and she would have entered the address through the phone.
And then my 90s moment is when Allison gets mad at Billy that he's reading the newspaper before she has the opportunity to do so.
Right. It's terrible. It's terrible. But I will say, episode 2 is way better than the pilot.
Well, we're delving in.
Yeah.
We're getting to know these people.
We're starting
people.
To get there. I'm excited for the 90210 people to leave.
Me too. They don't bring anything to the party.
Just get out of here. Get out of here. How do you think they're going to cut them off? How do you think they'll cut the cord?
Well, I hope that this just establishes that Jake and Kelly are just friends and she just never shows up again.
Yeah. Agree. All right, guys. Well, I think that's it. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Melrose Pod. And our email is melrosepod@gmail.com.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.